B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Steaky Lane?
You know, I went a year without touching myself.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
For Tuesday.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program.
Good shred-tastic way to start the morning.
That's right. Little Phil Vincent. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch. You can visit twitch.tv and search Sports Hub or get the Twitch app. Search the Sports Hub to watch the show live.
Speaking of shredding, did you see the video? I got sent it like three times yesterday from our listeners. The video of, I can't tell whether, I don't think it's actually Paul Stanley. I think it's a cover band, but it's a cover band that has a pretty impressive like stage setup and pyrotechnics. So there's a guy who's either Paul Stanley or pretending to be Paul Stanley on stage, and this big explosion happens, a pyro. And you could tell something was off. Like, instead of it shooting straight up, it basically became like a big ball of fire. And as the flame goes down, you realize that Paul Stanley's hair catches on fire. And he's in the middle of a song, and he's still playing. And Paul Stanley, or the Paul Stanley fill-in, continues to rock while stagehands come and put his hair out on fire and doesn't miss a note.
There's no way that's Paul Stanley. Because they would have to cancel the tour.
You could see
my ear. I don't think there was any way that's Paul Stanley. Do you?
I don't think it was. The stage looked a little small to be an actual Kiss thing. And there's a million Kiss cover bands.
Yeah, because the last time I saw a picture of Paul Stanley, he had his guitar broken, and it said, thank you, Fresno. You rock tonight.
Okay.
Like they played Fresno on their good farewell tour.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I think they might be hitting like 150 cities this farewell tour.
Have you gotten your tickets yet?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I have not either. And I'm definitely going to go. I mean, you can't miss Paul Stanley in concert. You just have to see it. It's the best comedy show you've ever seen. But I have not purchased my tickets yet. And that's right around the corner. I think it's like a month away. They're here next month. It's March, right?
Yeah. And I'm in town. That's right, because we looked to see if I was going to be in town.
Oh, yeah. You have to go. You have to see that show. It is utterly ridiculous.
Unfortunately, there's no Ace, which added a lot to it. And then when Peter comes out and he has Purple Roses.
Oh, and it's just, and he looks like he's in pain the entire time he's playing.
Yeah, and he just goes, I Purple Roses because my mother loved the color purple.
I mean, that is, put it this way. It's when you're at 100%, like full on, just like comic explosion. That's when all the original members are there. But when you get rid of Ace and you get rid of Peter, it's still focus. At 70%.
Yeah, you can focus on Paul.
Paul Stanley's the star. He's the star. No pun intended. But it's still worth whatever they're charging.
Well, how much money are you willing to spend here? I have the ticket prices right here in front
of
me.
Oh, I want good seats.
It's March 26th.
Yeah, yeah. I want good seats. Like, I mean, that's one that I'd pay like $250 a ticket to get close.
I'd pay $300.
Yeah, yeah.
$350.
It's that good.
Right. Right down front. If you want right down in front, section right in front of the stage, it's $500.
Yeah, but you can like also get like on the side and still be able to see everything.
Yeah, on the side.
For like $250,
$300. Yeah, it's like $320.
Yeah, yeah. I'd pay that.
Yeah,
that's,
so would I.
That's one of those shows that you have to see it. You have to see that show.
Is there an opener, or are they just going to go? I wouldn't want to open for that.
I saw them. I saw them one time, and like I think the Verve Pipe was opening, and it was years after the Verve Pipe were relevant. Like, how did they? They probably just said, "What's the cheapest band that we can put on tour with us?"
But you know, if you go to see Kiss, they don't care who plays beforehand. They're just like, it rocks.
No, or it's like Gene Simmons says, "Okay, who will pay us the most to go on tour with us?" Because we need to get paid. I mean, we're putting you in front of hundreds of thousands of people. So you need to give us money to have you tour with us.
Yeah. Do you think, because looking at Gene's not funny because he just can't move and it just, but he's got all that crap on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Gene, just ignore Gene.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who see Kiss the first time, you think it's cool because Gene like flies to the top and think, just ignore him. Just watch Paul Stanley the entire time. It is, he'll like do an entire song and just like putting a nipple, like a pick on his nipple. He'll lick the pick, put it on his nipple, and dance for an entire song with the pick still there, and at the very end of the song, point at someone in the front row, and then flick the pick off his nipple at that person.
There's not a dry seat in the house.
I mean, it's utterly ridiculous what this guy does on stage.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's a sex machine. But it is funny when Gene still vomits blood, like, during it, because his bass solo was just... Dong, dong, boom.
It's like one note over.
It's one song. It's one note.
Yeah.
And he just goes boom, 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 boom.
And he just starts like shaking his head. And then the fake blood capsule thing happens, which once again, if you've seen it for the first time, like, oh, well, that's kind of neat. But I mean, he's done that a million times.
But it's pretty lame.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is pretty lame. It's
well,
funny.
Just like the music. I mean, the songs are pretty lame, which makes
it
even funnier.
Let's not go crazy.
God of Thunder is not a good song.
God of Thunder and Rock and Roll.
He finds the top, and it's like, whoa, they're going to kick into this unbelievable song. And it's like, you're like, okay, well, that's not quite the super heavy metal masterpiece I was expecting after you turned into a bat.
Well, he's the God of Thunder. I mean, what do you want out of him?
And rock and roll. It's two things he's the God of.
Yeah. All right, well, John's like Captain Cool today. Me and Dan were talking about the weather, and John's just like, pfft. He was Fonzie about it. He's,
yep.
He's like, hey, man, so what? You get a couple inches, going to be gone. Yeah,
as long as the snow, I would be panicking if they said overnight travel is going to be bad, but the travel is going to be bad this afternoon, and it should be gone by tomorrow. Yep. That's why I'm Captain
Cool. It's not going to be gone by tomorrow.
Russia.
It's going to be all, well, it's not going to be snowing, but it's going to be still raining when we come in tomorrow.
Better than the alternative.
I don't know.
You'd rather it be snowing?
No, I don't know, because you get that ice. You know, and then I get, plus they plow the damn street and it puts all the snow at the foot of my street or my driveway.
Rush hour commute is supposed to be a nightmare tonight.
Yes.
Like it starts, I think it's all supposed to start around like 2:30 mm-hmm. and then go all the way through like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And it's going to be
nasty.
Yeah, absolutely nasty the entire time, especially if you're driving out west. That's where it's going to get really bad.
Well, I put in like dark skies into the just the tab of the, you know, computer, like the tab of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me somewhere that the company wouldn't let me see.
Oh.
And then, so explicit.
And then I went to dark skies, and they are predicting 4 to 8. But the AccuWeather is predicting 3 to 5. And Weather Channel is predicting 4 to 6.
Yeah, like 3 to 5 is Boston. Like if you're here, like all the way to like, you know, like Natick, I think it's 3 to 5 is the consensus. But if you go further past Natick, then you're going to get slammed. And anything further north of Boston, I mean, if you live up near New Hampshire, you're getting killed today.
Yeah, but that's your That's your prerogative.
I was just going to say, dig your own grave.
All that money you're saving from state tax.
Enjoy the snow.
Living over the border means you got to drive in hell.
Yeah, that's you've dug your own grave. That's not anyone's fault but your own.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun. But I know that I think tomorrow morning, like they're saying, like around what 10 a.m., everything's officially done. Like, I mean, even like any dusting and all that, it's over with.
And it's 51 degrees on Friday.
We've lucked out. I saw like the snow totals. They compared them for like the last like 5-6 years. By the way, like 2014, like in 2015 and 16, like that stretch of 3 years sucked. Like you look at the snow totals. Remember how awful that was?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like,
I'll never forget.
4 years ago, when we came back from Phoenix,
it was that, and the year before it, back to back, just like a wallop after a wallop after a wallop. I know people who like contemplated leaving.
Me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was that bad.
No, I
had a friend who did leave.
I have who did leave. I have I have three friends who left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A year and a half of that.
You have two winters in a row that are like that. I mean, it's enough to do it. But then you look at the snow totals we've gotten this year, and it's just like, it's nothing. And it's awesome. And I know people are like, I've heard people say, oh, but, you know, snow, I like snow. It's pretty. No, you're not driving it.
No.
You don't like that.
No.
Especially if you only have a one-car garage and you can't use it because you have two cars. Then you got to do all the BS. I might take an Uber tomorrow. Just not even deal with it. Just wait Mother Nature to take its course.
I don't even know if tomorrow's going to be that bad.
I wonder if they'll pick me up with my poor 4.63 rating.
Some people might pass you by.
By the way, my Lyft rating is 5. So
there you go.
Out of
good.
It.
There you go.
Is it out of 5?
5 out of 5.
Okay.
Yep. My Lyft rating is 5. Maybe not so snobby. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich, what happened last night? What are we going to talk about?
All right, the fallout from the Celtics' two devastating losses continues. And then we'll talk a little pitchers and catchers, baby. Red Sox.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Real quick, before we go to the Celtics, we were just talking about this off the air. the AAF, what does it stand for? The American
Alliance of American Football.
Okay, so that debuted this past weekend, and the ratings were pretty good. Now, once again, it's the first one. A lot of people tuned in just to see what the hell it was, and it had a little bit of Jeff Fisher for the ladies, so it's understandable why a lot of people dialed in to see what was happening. However, watching it, you know, you saw like Christian Hackenberg just absolutely suck while he was playing for this Memphis team.
Yep.
And we were discussing yesterday, what would it take? Like, what players would they have to sign to get you to tune in? And I mentioned, how funny would it be if Jamarcus Russell came out there to see what Jamarcus Russell could do? And you just, John, told me a story that broke a few minutes ago.
Yes, the Memphis Express has signed Jamarcus Russell.
Okay.
Hackenberg was so bad that they signed possibly the biggest bust in NFL history to replace him.
Yeah. You could get on one knee at the 50 and throw it through the uprights.
I was looking at like the list of quarterbacks that are playing for the AAF, and it's kind of like a list of, oh, yeah. Yeah, like I remember, like it's these backups who played for a couple weeks while the stars were down.
Mm-hmm.
Like Zach Mettenberger, remember him with the mustache?
Yeah. Sure,
yeah, he was the Titans, right?
Yep.
What's his name was
Mariota.
Mariota was hurt, and there's a couple of guys that I think Tyler Palco might have been one of them, or maybe I'm just imagining
Ron Jaworski's favorite.
But there was one thing that the AAF did right, which I thought, if the NFL doesn't rip this off, then there's something wrong. Now, I know why they wouldn't, because maybe they think that they don't want to, you know, show too much behind the curtain. But there was, during a replay,
they have the replay official.
It was amazing. So there was a guy who came up, and he was in the end zone, came down with a football, one of the wide receivers, and they couldn't tell whether or not the ball had hit the ground. And so while you're watching a game, like, how long does it seems like it takes forever while you're waiting for them to look under the hood, while you're seeing on television for yourself, oh, well, that's definitely a catch, or that's not a catch. However, with the AAF, what they did was they mic'd up the official in the booth, and you can see on the right side what they're looking at, and you can hear them actually talking to the official, and it sounded like this.
Terry Valenti, the replay
official.
He's
rolling on the ground. He's using the ground to keep it in there. The ball, the ground helps him. We're going to let it stand.
So she's going to agree with the call on the field. No touchdown. She feels that the ground helped the catch at the end of the catch.
Definitely touched. With ball is down on the ground sliding. Okay, we're going to let, wait a minute, 1 second. We've got an elbow down. It's got it. And touch. Nope, we're going to overturn this and reverse this to a catch in the end zone for a score by Orlando. Okay. He's got possession. He tucks it in. His elbow hits. The ball is in control in his arms. Okay. We've got a score.
So how awesome is that? As a viewer, instead of just sitting there waiting for the call, during that 45 seconds, you got to see them look at two different angles and overturn what they originally thought. And that's awesome if you get to go behind the scene and, like, what is the actual thing that they were
like
looking at to overturn it? It's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
Bird's in the kitchen making breakfast.
Really? All right. Well, that's good that the show's going on. And Bird,
and then he just brought something into Nick.
Bird, what are you doing, man? We have commercial breaks. You could do that.
I know. It's almost done. I'm just
bringing
it in.
Okay. Bird, we're on the air, my man.
And there were phones ringing.
Who answered? Was it Dan? Did Dan have to answer the phone?
Yeah, of course.
Dan had to answer the phone.
Yeah, Dan's all hands on deck in there.
All right.
But
he went and got Nick something, and then he went and toasted an English muffin and waited for the English muffin. And then he started making other stuff.
Okay.
Which, and now he's gone again.
What? All right.
And now he's touching stuff.
All right, Bert.
Because the email came out the other day about eating in the studio again. And he is completely clueless.
You think he reads?
I told him yesterday, and then I just told him now, and he went, oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, thank you.
Yeah. So he took the time right then, right after commercials, to go and start making breakfast. I'll tell you, that chair is something else.
It's magic, isn't it?
I how can you not sit still for, you know, the breaks are like 10, 12, 15 minutes. How can you not sit still until you go to commercial? My Lord. I mean, that is ants in your pants.
All right, Bird. You all set? You good? You locked in? Okay, good. Now we can continue. Thank you very much, Bird. Well, so as the Celtics continue to reel from two devastating back-to-back losses, the team yesterday stepped back and tried to figure out what the hell happened that caused this team packed with talent to blow first an 18-point lead and then a 28-point one. So after Saturday's debacle, it was Marcus Morris that faced the media and called out everyone, including himself, questioning the team's chemistry, motivation. So when asked about it yesterday, Marcus didn't back down from his comments that he made on Saturday night.
How did the team respond to what you said the other night?
For the most part, you know, everybody agreed with me. Coach, you know, he thought it was, you know, right thing to say. No, and it's more to the fact of, you know, I could basically kept that in house and, you know, and talked to, you know, my teammates. But the guys caught me at a good time. I was hot. I spoke what was real. You know, I didn't take it out of context or point anybody out. I just said as a whole, I just felt like, you know, we got to enjoy this process. And, you know, when we up 20 or 30, it has to seem like we're up 20 or 30, you know, and I think that stretches out, you know, around the league.
Do you think your teammates took the message the right way?
Yeah. Watched some film. We watched a couple clips and, you know, guys understood what I was saying and, you know.
He said something later on, too. He said, I've never been on a team that has a chance to win a championship before. And now that I'm here, I don't want to blow it.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. That's not his place to be saying that stuff.
Why?
Because he's not one of the leaders of the team.
He's a veteran. And he's one of the guys who's kind of known as somebody who hasn't slacked off, although the last game you could argue that he did. But he's been one of the more consistent players on this team.
I think every time that someone opens their mouth right now, and especially someone like Marcus Morris, that it's just adding to the crap that's going on.
You know what, Fred? You're right. I understand where you're coming from, but he was they talked to the team yesterday at practice, and universally, everyone agreed with him, including the head coach.
What's Stevens going to do?
But he shouldn't have said something like that. He could. There were other ways for Stevens to phrase it.
That's not Stevens' personality.
Stevens said, you know, I have no problem with him saying that as long as he put his name to it.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yep.
I don't understand what... that means nothing to me. I mean, and even Marcus Morris said most people. I don't think that's his place. I think everyone should shut up for a while. I mean, no one can stop talking.
No, that's fair. I mean, keep things behind the scenes. I understand that. However, I don't think it was the worst thing to say at that time. I mean, you almost do need to make some sort of comment when you blow two games.
Maybe it's the low point. We had Brian Robin here yesterday. Maybe, and he agreed, maybe this is the low point. Maybe this, finally, after a lot of talking, and there has been. There's been a lot of talking about how we have to get better, we have to be more consistent, and this stuff is still popping up. Maybe Morris popping off is the low point of the season that will spur this team onto the consistent play that everyone agrees they have in them. I mean, they have some really tough games coming up, and they have to play in Philadelphia without Kyrie Irving. This team doesn't win on the road without Kyrie Irving. I mean, it's documented over the last 13 or 14 games without Kyrie Irving on the road, they've won twice. But and that just includes an easy win, or not an easy win, but a win in Cleveland over a bad team last week.
It's just meetings and comments and meetings and comments and meetings and comments. Maybe everyone should get it in the flow of the season.
I agree.
Well, sure. I agree. But also, I don't put it past someone to say something like that after that loss. I mean, it was so bad. As a matter of fact, Gary Washburn said that he thought it was the most embarrassing loss of the Brad Stevens era. And to have that amount of talent and to blow a 28-point lead against a team that might not make the playoffs, he's right. He's right.
Well, losing to Cleveland by about 50 in the Eastern Conference Finals wasn't a lot of fun.
That's different because that team was
embarrassing.
But that other team had LeBron James on it.
I know.
All right. And what was the biggest star, you know, the year before? Was it Isaiah Thomas?
Yes.
All right. So I think this one, as far as just like pure talent and expectations, I agree with Gary Washburn, but here's what Brad Stevens had to say about that.
You know, one of the things that we say at the very beginning of the year is we don't want to be a team quoted of unnamed sources. So if you're going to say something, you got to put your name next to it. And Marcus's frustrations were obvious and evident. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I thought he said a lot of stuff that can't really argue in the last two games. And so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games and go from there. But, you know, as long as we can put our name next to it, I'm good.
Yeah, and Al Horford, he was asked about it too. And as you said, John, he seems to be on board with all the things that Marcus Morris was saying.
I think just sometimes you just need a wake-up call. And even though as good as we've been playing, we got to put things into perspective. I felt like we've been playing good basketball, and the past two games have not been what we want to be. We have a good challenge tomorrow.
And he's right. It's kind of – this is almost the way that you want a team to get embarrassed and to get woken up is, you know, have two devastating losses in a row while you've won 10 of the last 13. You know what I mean? It's not like this team is, like, in a horrible spot. It's just – they do have faults, and a lot of that is the third quarter, they take their foot off the gas. Second quarter sometimes, too, if you get up high enough. I mean, you look at their splits between the first and the fourth. The fourth is when they were like, all right, now it's time to start trying again, and it just seems like it's all motivation, and I don't mind it. If it has to go down, I don't mind it going down this way. Well, tonight's – I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
And I was just going to say, more to the point of what Fred was saying, they talk a lot. And now they have a big game tonight. Yep. They have a game against a team that's right in front of them in the standings. And right now they don't have home court advantage, but they're only one game behind Philadelphia. You go to Philadelphia tonight. You don't have Kyrie Irving. This is a chance to galvanize your team. A lot of talking. Let's see if they back it up. Yeah. I mean, if they go into Philadelphia and get blown out by 20 tonight, none of this matters.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to. Now, look, I'll even take a close loss. If they play well and Philadelphia hits a couple of crazy shots at the end and they win by two, that's one thing. But if you go to Philadelphia tonight without Kyrie Irving and get your heads handed to you, then we're right back where we started again. The time for action is now.
Give me a strong second and third quarter.
Yeah, show me you can do it. Solid game tonight where you play the right way. Everyone's happy with the effort. I can live with that. Yes.
Maybe they can avoid another meeting. All right, Rich. We got the headlines coming up. What are we going to talk about?
We're talking a little pitchers and catchers. Also, the Cleveland Browns do Cleveland Browns type things.
Here are the headlines.
Get the sports up. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the sports up.
Today. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you say there's pitchers and catchers there?
Yep, two words that make it difficult for John Wallach to stand up. Pitchers and catchers, baby.
Rochie's going out. Rochie's got the gig.
Very happy about this. Very happy for Dan Roach this morning.
I am too. He's leaving tomorrow. Yes. And we're trying to get him on Thursday, but we shall see. Either way, he's going to be in his happy place. And they're all down at Fort Myers right now. And the Dan Roaches of the world can smile once again because it's time for baseball reporters all around the country to start rocking shorts.
What up, pasty shirts?
What up, pasty legs, Magoo? It's always just like you need to adjust the tint on the cameras when they take the picture.
Like khaki shorts that are like stocked and ask.
It's ooh, Cafardo. Ooh, la, la.
Mr. Abraham, don't mind if I do.
Well, one of the biggest questions at the beginning of the season for Alex Cora is, who the hell's going to close for this team now that Craig Kimbrell is a free agent? So Cora was asked that yesterday. It seems like it could be anyone.
You know, we got some capable guys that can get outs in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. What Barnes did last year was amazing. If you start looking where he pitched during the regular season and during the playoffs, you know, getting the 3, 4, 5th guy from the 7th inning on, he was amazing. Brazier did an outstanding job. But for me, honestly, it's too soon.
Don't call him Barnesy. You're not Canadian. You don't play hockey. You can't do those nicknames. Only if you are indeed someone who plays for a hockey team can you do that. Well, another kind of weird situation is that of the role of Dustin Pedroia, who played only 3 games last season, but it's going to be back and looking for some sort of playing time. Hey, Alex Cora, what's the deal with that, huh?
He said in a newspaper that he's going to be the comeback player of the year, but you got that one already, so I don't know what he's talking about. But I think he's showing up earlier than what we expected. You know, you got to take care of him, but at the same time, we have to push him. So he's ready to roll. He's ready for that, and looking forward to work with him the whole spring.
He sounded disappointed, but he came in early.
Yeah.
And he sounded like he came in pretty early. That wasn't the greatest thing
Only
that's ever happened.
3 years left of that contract.
Kind of wish he would just go away and never do it.
We're kind of hoping that he was just going to kind of sit out. You know who doesn't like the Florida heat and the humidity? Is Mr. Dan Shaughnessy's fro.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing easier to pick out than Dan Shaughnessy standing next to a manager or a player.
Yeah.
With the microphone out and just full foliage.
He gains about 6 inches of height when he goes down there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a situation he's got to pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He just keeps a picking it.
Right.
Walks around.
Especially going from like the cold hair here down there, it's like
oh yeah, his hair is
it's
just,
like a peacock preening.
Oh yeah, it's it's like the running of the bulls. They've been waiting behind his hair's been waiting behind a gate. The minute he steps off the plane,
right? It's like one of those time lapse videos of the sun rising.
Yeah, it's like a mushroom growing.
Yes, well,
it'd be funny just to follow him like and see how long the fro takes to go full bloom.
I would like to see that. If someone could like attach one of those cameras to his chest that just films his face as he's walking around.
Sure.
And just from the moment he gets out of like the hotel van and arrives at JetBlue Park,
right.
Just watching it. Boop, it probably makes a sound.
Remember that we did not reach the amount of Q-tips that could fit into his afro.
I
still did not hear that bit, which
I'm so sorry you were not here, Rich. You would have enjoyed it.
There was 150 in there, I believe, at one point.
He was like talking the whole time like it was nothing.
He just didn't want pictures taken.
Okay.
Or was it pencils that he could fit all the pencils in?
There were a lot of pencils involved, and then Bird started sticking Q-tips in there, and it was a whole thing. It was great.
Yeah, he could fit like 10 pencils in there.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know why he just doesn't carry them around his fro.
That's what happens when you put together a Marconi-winning radio show with a Hall of Fame baseball writer. How many Q-tips
magic
can we jam into Dan Shaughnessy's afro?
Well, I mean, 10 pencils, I mean, there is something to be said. You could save the environment.
You could, absolutely.
Just pick them out of his hair.
Well, other things we learned yesterday, apparently Eduardo Rodriguez showed up jacked, adding a bunch of upper body muscle.
That's great.
According to reports.
That's perfect.
Also position.
That's exactly what you want.
That's going to help with the knee problems he has.
Yeah, just tighten up. Sure. Tighten up all your muscles and contract, compress them and everything. Yeah.
Well, of course. Also, position players aren't supposed to report until Sunday, but tell that to Brock Holt, who says baseball never stops. I'm here, bust out the fungo bats. It's drill time. So Cora has also said that Chris Sale gained some weight, which means he's now at least 100 pounds. So there you go. We've got all the reporters showing up. It's about to be a party down there at JetBlue Park. How far are we away from that really awkward press conference with John Henry where he essentially just tells Tom Werner to keep his mouth shut? Where he keeps him in the background while John Henry answers all the questions.
The biggest problem for not only Harpo has a problem because you know he wants to answer questions and sure. John Henry wants, but the other problem is John Henry no longer has Larry Lucchino to block for him. I mean, when the real tough questions come in, Larry would always jump in and you know throw himself on the grenade. Now Larry's not there.
That was always annoying. I used to find those press conferences to be funny, except when Lucchino talked. Because Lucchino just, like, would, well, although when he cut off Werner, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Because Werner would just, like, say something so incredibly stupid. And then Lucchino would jump in and go, okay, I think what he's actually trying to say is blank.
I don't really know what tough questions you could ask Henry anymore.
I mean, the team's spending
such a huge amount of money.
Yeah, this isn't like years ago when, you know, the whole Francona fallout, chicken and beer stuff. I mean, that was when it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. All I would ask him about is the prices at the park and why they don't knock it down. And
why don't they knock the prices down, the park down?
Everything down.
Yeah.
Knock the park down, knock the prices down.
So why do you have the most expensive beer per ounce in majors?
And they'll say it's because of the size of the park. And you would say, well, then why don't you
build a new ballpark?
Build a new ballpark.
Yeah.
We're in the sun here.
Somebody get me my umbrella.
That's right, I shall melt.
I'm in the sun. Oh, boy. Damn you, orb in the heavens.
It is weird, though, because you can, hang on, stop with that. We're saying that it's because there aren't as many seats, and that's why the concessions stuff. Well, what about the ticket prices? You make up for that with the high ticket prices.
His argument would be we need the prices to be that high because we have the lowest seating capacity in the major leagues, so we need the highest seat prices across the board.
Maybe I could just get some honesty from him. He'd say, it's because you jackasses pay for it. Like, we put that out there.
Yeah.
You're not going to buy beer.
Yeah, their argument would be, well, we're already in the luxury tax. We have the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. We have the smallest seating capacity in Major League Baseball. So we're going to gouge the crap out of everyone to make sure we come out somewhat even.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. More gold coins for Henry.
We're in the sun here.
Get me away from that thing.
Yep, do not melt.
Jeeves, cover the sun.
Well, the Cleveland Browns, they have signed Kareem Hunt because, of course, they did. Apparently, it's a one-year contract. He's going to be a restricted free agent after the contract expires, means the Browns will control his rights after next season. As you know, there was that video that surfaced showing him shoving and kicking a woman last February at his residence in Cleveland. He was neither arrested nor faced charges for the incident, but he was also accused of punching a man back in June. He was put on that commissioner's exempt list shortly before he was released. You know, you can say whatever about whether or not this is the right thing to do and the morality of it, but Mike Lockhart made the best point. He goes, you know, that's a weird choice for Cleveland because Nick Chubb showed signs of being a really good third down back.
Yep.
Why bring in, like, this crap show when you could spend that money in areas that you actually need to spend your money in and
you
making
need someone
moves
to watch Mayfield. You need someone to check him off the field.
Just for football reasons, this seems like a dumb thing to do. But however, it was kind of funny watching the GM Dorsey try to spin this as to being something other than a craptastic decision.
Done our extensive research, and at the end of the day, in terms of doing our research, we came away that the act was egregious. He is extremely remorseful for that moving forward. And I've always believed that it is important moving forward to, if a person wants to better themselves moving forward and be a better person, I'm willing to give them a chance in terms of doing all the deep research I've done. I still believe that he will be a better man today than he was yesterday.
You're such a humanitarian. I wish they would just say it's because he's good at football. He's good at football, and we're probably going to get some games out of him. Now, the NFL rules are weird. Can you clarify this for me? Because I know it's like a one-year contract that they have.
Yeah.
He's more than likely going to get suspended. They're saying 10 to 12 games.
Suspended. I don't think he's going to get suspended 12. I think Ray Rice got suspended for 4, which was an abomination. And that was only after they went back and revisited the video.
I've heard 10 games is kind of the number that's being thrown out around a lot.
It's going to be at least 6 from what I'm reading.
Okay.
And then you go from there. So, the baseline for domestic violence, I think, now is 6. And then
there'll be 1 in 5 when he comes up.
Well, so let's then how would Mayfield to hell, baby?
Mayfield will be replaced.
Magic Mike Mayfield. Yeah. So let's say that there is a that he hits 6 games. Like he gets to play 6 games. Does that mean that after that he's a free agent, or because he was suspended that the Browns will still have rights to him the next year.
He's free agent.
No, he'll be a restricted free agent next year. He'll get the Browns will get, say, 10 games out of him this season after he gets suspended for six. Is that your question?
No, no. Okay, so all right.
He'll be a restricted free agent.
Yes, he's a restricted free agent next year regardless.
That'll okay, so he's a restricted contract. Free agent. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Even if he was suspended the whole year, I
yes.
believe.
Yes, okay. That's all right. Correct. You're under that counts as the one-year contract, yes. So he'll be restricted next year.
All right. Well, looks like they're going to have a whole lot of fun on their hands answering questions. And by the way, Dorsey was the press conference is pretty good. I watched a little bit of it, and they were asking, you know, are you aware of Kareem Hunt's family background? Like, I mean, this is something that kind of runs the family. I think his dad was arrested for, like, he was a coke dealer or something crazy like that. And he's like, yeah, you know, we take these things into consideration. Well, obviously
you don't.
You didn't, you know. I just thought, out of all the things, you know, whatever about the morality of it, that was just a dumb football decision to make.
Well, Dorsey drafted him in Kansas City. So he's obviously got a love affair with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kareem Hunt, even though you have a back that performed very well, now you can answer a bunch of questions about it. Because you believe in second chances,
mm-hmm.
which isn't a terrible thing to say, but nonetheless, you've opened yourself up to a bunch of criticism. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, we're going to talk about the wonders of choosing football over baseball.
Yes, indeed, especially when you're 5'2". And make Doug Flutie look like a giant.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports app.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You want to talk to Trainwreck?
Yeah, but I think like the gong show, the minute it starts going, you just hang up.
Oh, Trainwreck's always got something funny to say. Hi, Trainwreck.
Fred.
Hey.
Hey, Rich, John, hey, before I get on my rant, I got my script in front of me. I owe you guys an honest apology from December 1st.
All right. I've been waiting for that.
Today I'll never forget.
Hang on. I called you guys hammered. Listen, hear me out. I'm not looking for sympathy. Hear me out before I go on my skit. I put a lot of time into this. So my mother-in-law, remember the last time I called you guys?
I didn't want to hear that.
Just call back with the skit ready to go. We don't need to hear any kind of background.
I think that
stuff
was going
to
be a tale of woe.
Yeah.
I think Trainwreck was giving you the tears of a clown right there.
When you had a skit ready to go, I'm like, okay, Trainwreck, that's how you do. All right, get right to the
fun. He's like, hear me out, though. I got to give you some background about December 1st, the day that will live in infamy.
Okay. December 1st. Listen, I will
the
never
Trainwreck phone call from December 1st.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. He had a script written out and everything. But it's the tears of the clown, like, you know, Smokey Robinson said.
I think that's him on line two. I think he called back.
You know, of course, when you're train wreck, you got to be vigilant.
Yep, you do. Well, Kyler Murray has decided, you know what, I'm going to do football instead. So he released this, like a picture of himself wearing a football helmet. And then his statement was done with this really cool, like,
I hate
super graphic thing.
I hate when
it's like professionally made.
It's like when the high school kids do that. Like, I absolutely hate that.
Yeah, that was
when they're like, a lot's been going through my mind. And, you know, and thank you so much for all the hardships and struggles.
And then,
you know, but I had to pursue my passion at the University of Florida because they paid me. So, yes, it's very annoying.
It says, moving forward, I'm firmly and fully committing my life and time to becoming, in bold letters, an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play quarterback, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best QB possible and winning NFL championships. I've started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to prove to the NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback in this draft. And then
does he have a rack?
His autograph.
Does he have a rack that's going to stretch him out? He's the size of Doug Flutie.
I got to be honest with you. I looked at 6 different mock drafts this morning. None of them have Murray slipping by 13. Everyone thinks he's going to get drafted by Miami or Cincinnati in the top 15.
All right, going back in time, would you have drafted Doug Flutie in the top 15?
No. I watched the guy play. No, I wouldn't have drafted Doug Flutie in the top 15. I mean, attitudes about quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, were different back then. But I wouldn't have drafted Flutie in the top 15. This kid's got a great arm, but, I mean, I didn't realize how small he really was until Burt Burris sat here and told us he's 175 or 180 pounds. He's 5'9", 180 pounds. There's no way in hell he lasts.
Well, so here's kind of how the money situation works out. So he received about $5 million of a signing bonus from the Athletics. He's got to repay that. And if he's the last pick of the first round in the NFL draft, he'll get a roughly $5 million signing bonus and about $10 million guaranteed. So he, at least at the beginning, looks to make more money than he would playing
guaranteed
baseball.
Guaranteed 4 years with an option for a fifth. So yeah. He'll last at least 5 years in the NFL, whereas if he went and played baseball, center fielder, you know what, maybe he's good enough. I mean, I brought up Benintendi yesterday. Maybe he zips through, and Oakland is begging for players that are cheap. So you figure he zips through the Oakland A's farm system as a number one draft pick. He spends about a year and a half in the minors. He's up at the majors, starts making some money.
No, but the majors screwed up is because they're, you know, the way that they compensate the draft prospects and the way that you, until you make the major leagues and all this stuff. I mean, if you want them to play in the major leagues, you should give them a major league contract. I mean, if you take a guy and you believe in him, you should give him a major league contract.
Who'd you say most people are saying is going to draft him?
Cincinnati or Miami, but he doesn't get by 15.
Miami.
These are the five or six mock drafts I looked at this morning, a lot of them on CBS Sports. But, I mean, I'm telling you, this kid's going to get drafted in the first round. Everything I read.
If he's around, if he falls like late in the draft, I mean, the end of the first round, Patriots?
No.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want a quarterback that's going to play for 2.5 years.
No.
I mean, think of what happened to Robert Griffin and the idea that he got beat up that quick.
He was mishandled so badly.
Well, I mean,
if he went to a different program, that guy would still be playing.
I don't think so. I mean, he was frail. I mean, he just was thin, but he was tall and thin.
But there was all those reports that he was mishandled by the doctors. He was put back into games when he shouldn't have been.
He still wouldn't be playing today. I mean, I don't think there's a chance of that.
Now, you remember last year, the Patriots worked out Lamar Jackson a couple of times.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson.
And that's the argument.
Different.
Well, they worked out Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is 6'3", 215.
Yeah.
This kid's 5'9", 180 on a good day. It's a big difference.
Sounds like the ultimate Belichick challenge.
Yes.
Show the world what he can do.
That's right. You just, you know, it's like putting together a... you put together a one Lego thing, and now you're going to go for the whole Death Star.
right. You're already the greatest of all time. Why not just add to it that you can just make monsters out of nothing? Monsters out of midgets.
Yeah, just exactly. You know, you can't make it that easy on yourself. And by the way, this Murray kid doesn't have like small arms. I mean, he's like muscular, so I don't know how much weight he could possibly put on without it being a hindrance. So, good luck. I mean, if you think a guy that small can last, he might come in and light it up, but I just don't think he can last.
He's going to have to be a pocket passer. Honest to God.
And
a lot of people forget these outside linebackers that go 6'4", 270, can run 4.4 40s.
Yeah.
If they get an angle on this kid, they can run this kid down. I mean, it's just... I don't see it.
Please, even if he's a pocket passer, he's going to get hit.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be stuck in the pocket. Good teams will keep him there. And it comes down to you're 5'9". You got to throw over guys that are 6'6 or 6'7". Find a window to do that.
And plus, think about that you're that small and you're in the pocket and you're new and you don't really know how to step up and work a pocket like that. So you're just a sitting duck.
I'm with you. I don't see it.
But I mean, he should be
playing baseball.
He might be. Well, baseball screwed it up. I mean, the idea that you can't give him a major league contract.
His career will be longer if he plays baseball.
Yeah.
That's my point.
If he lived up to expectations. But I'm telling you that he might come out and be great. I'm not saying he won't. All I'm saying, he ain't going to last. He's way too small. He's the size of a very small corner.
Yeah.
So
it is.
I mean, that's what he's doing. All right. A little known thing about David Pastrnak, before he moved, I believe, to the Czech Republic, if I'm not mistaken, he might have been somewhere else, but I think it was the Czech Republic. He spent a lot of time in the grill, his family, half from Jamaica. So we explore that aspect of his personality in just a moment. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.